Hey there, folks. Welcome back to the What the Future podcast, recorded in the UPL studio. You heard that right, folks. New sponsor on board. Welcome to UPL. Great to have you. We'll be hearing a lot more from those folks here over the next weeks and months. Of course, What the Futures podcast is the show where we break down complex market trends into simple, actionable advice. Try to keep things simple here on the show. It's your quick guide to better farming decisions. And folks, hopefully we can help you out just a little bit in some of the tough decisions that you face each and every week. Of course, I'm your host, Ryan Denis. I've spent my career in farming on the grain side of the industry. I was a grain buyer back in the day. For over a decade, I worked with farmers across Northeast Alberta and Saskatchewan as an analyst, as a crop marketing advisor, basically helping farms make better crop marketing decisions. And I'm now taking that on the road here with this podcast. Today's episode takes us to Southern Alberta and a discussion with David Lee of Marketplace Commodities. We talk about the latest thoughts around moisture conditions and spring weather. We talk about what farmers are planting in Southern Alberta and also what farmers can do with this little market bounce. David Lee is a fantastic guest that we have, reoccurring guest. And stay tuned for that. We've got some great content here in just a few minutes. Of course, we'll also get to our regular segments, folks, including the popular mailbag segment brought to you by Pioneer Seeds. We will wrap up the episode with a healthy serving of veggies. Listeners know that it is the right thing to do. Got to eat your veggies each and every week. And of course, a big one for us this week is, of course, selling this little pre-seed bounce that we're getting. That's a big one that you need to focus on here right now. All right, so I'm gonna just interrupt here the episode for just a minute and get in a word from our sponsor, John Deere. You know folks, out here in Western Canada, we see a lot of different crop conditions. Fortunately, our friends at John Deere have a whole new lineup that can handle any crop in any condition. There's three new high horsepower 9RX tractors and new high-tech S7 and X9 combines. There's even a new C-Series air cart. Check them out yourself at johndeere.ca and see what's coming our way this year. All right, folks, let's get after it. Let's get into the meat and potatoes here of this episode. I'm going to start with positive moments, segment number one. We start each and every episode, we try to anyway, with our positive moments of the week. Again, I always have a couple, right? Number one for me this week. So I've been joking that I took an aerobics class with my wife on Tuesday, okay? I'm recording this Thursday night, so cheers to everybody following along. But Tuesday, we did it's not called aerobics, but it was an organized class with myself, my wife, and some ladies that I would say, you know, were on the retirement side of everything. They didn't have anything to get to after class. All right, let's just say that. But I took a little bit of a humble pie because, man, those ladies were tough, strong, and they outworked me in that class, I have to say. So I got to get after it, folks. I got to get in the old routine here a little bit more. And Of course, it was great doing a class with my wife. It was a lot of fun. I could see people at the gym were like looking at us and like looking at me specifically. Like, what is this guy doing? But it was a lot of fun. And I look forward to next week's class. We're going to do this every Tuesday, apparently, for the next while. Second positive moment of the week is I did two presentations this week. One in Camrose and one in... why can't I remember what I did today? You guys ever have those moments where you sit here and say, where was I today? There we go. Lacombe. I was in Lacombe. Great little town of Lacombe. But I'm realizing as I do these presentations, it's getting a little better each time. I was a little rusty here a couple weeks ago in Lamont. But it's getting better each and every time. And I get a little bit of a high coming off a presentation. I could be in front of 5 people or 50 people. We had a nice crowd in Lacombe today. We had a really nice crowd in Camrose with Herb's group. And I know the message wasn't necessarily positive, and you know, marketing is challenging and difficult, as you all know. But you know, I got a sense after the presentation that there was some pretty good takeaways. Farmers had some good takeaways from it, and a lot of interaction after the presentation as well. So those are my positive moments of the week. If you're looking for a guest speaker, you never know, it might work for our calendars to align. So certainly hit me up at the website, whatthefuturespodcast.ca. All right, folks, we always bring in a guest to challenge the tough, difficult topics. We bring in the smart people because I just don't have all the knowledge all the time. And so let's bring in David Lee with Marketplace Commodities and see what's going on in Southern Alberta. All right, folks, I have David Lee joining us once again. David, I know you're down in Lethbridge, Alberta, but how's your week going?
Oh, yeah, it's going really well. You know, it's been quite a nice week down here. So far, we've had double-digit temperatures most of the week.
Yeah.
Which is very nice to get out into. It beats the minus 20s. Although we haven't had a lot of minus 20s this year, but
fair enough.
Been good so far.
Are the golf courses going to open here like momentarily, or when's the golf courses get going in your area?
Well, I definitely would think so. I guess it depends a little bit. They do usually like to let March elapse if possible, but it wouldn't surprise me if a few are going right now. I haven't heard, and we've got one guy in the office that's quite an adamant golfer. So if they were open, I think I probably would have heard by now. So, getting to mid-March here in a fairly dry year, wouldn't surprise me to hear it's usually around this time, maybe another week, that there's actually guys that start to seed down here. So
I was gonna ask you today, number one, conditions out there. I was in Lethbridge a couple weeks ago. It looked like winter. It felt like winter when I was there. It was cold. But how's it going for spring conditions? Is it is the moisture hanging around, or?
No, I mean, we were quite fortunate. We had that one really good snow that came through here, went down into Montana and hit throughout Saskatchewan. I think in some places it dumped up to 2 feet in Saskatchewan from what I hear, and quite, you know, did get into the mountains and stuff where we really needed as well. Unfortunately, looking at the snowpack maps and from what I can tell, it's quite dry. I had one farmer tell me it looked to him, he quoted something like a 1988 is kind of, he's a fairly older gentleman, and he could remember back, and it took him getting all the way back to there to kind of put a date on what he's seeing this year. So,
okay. Yeah,
I can't recall years quite like that where you can remember the exact year how it was, but he's pretty good at that. So,
my dad's in his late 50s, so he's not super old by any means. But he talks about 88, you know, has referenced 88 quite a bit in my, you know, in my life. 88.
Okay, you've heard that before too.
yeah. And then 02, I was, I was in like grade 11, grade 12. I got to live that one and remember that one on my own. But 88 comes up. What about the outlook then for weather? Like, is it, are you guys seeing any hope here from a moisture perspective?
Well, I did attend a cattle feeders conference, and there was the weatherman there. I forget his name now. I'd have to get that to you. Mm-hmm. But he seemed pretty confident that, based on this El Nino that we're currently in, and all of the models that closely resemble it, he said there's a very high probability that we don't follow a curve that goes back into an El Nino. says there's a very high probability that we go into a La Nina from here.
Okay.
Which is positive for moisture, but he did say that it'll probably be here a little bit later than most guys would like, probably in June or late June.
Okay.
So I suppose there's some hope on the way there. He did also mention that when this weather pattern unfolds, that we're generally looking at about, he said, 2 to 3 years of really cold winters.
Oh,
so, okay. And according to his models, he went through it all. It took him probably 40 minutes to go through it all.
Yeah.
But according to his models, he said, I was quite surprised. He said it quite conclusively that from where we are in this El Nino, that it doesn't bounce back into another El Nino. Like it that really doesn't happen even. So
okay.
It would be an anomaly for us to do that against pretty much every other case.
Okay.
So I take that for what it's worth.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he said. So,
yeah, I've seen some similar things out there as well. So I don't think he's alone in that thinking. So, might be a little tense here in May and early June, and then precipitation comes, which is just not great for pastures, right? Like your grass, it needs that moisture to get going off the start. So,
That's right.
We'll have to see how that goes.
Yep. I was just going to try and see if I could. Oh, yeah. His name is Matt Makins.
Okay.
Matt Makins was the weather forecast there. So sorry, I was just trying to look that up quick.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. So with what you're seeing out of your window and some of these forecasts, do you get a sense? I know you chat with a lot of people, but do you get a sense that of what farmers are planting here in 2024? Like, is there anything that stands out in those conversations?
Yeah, a little bit. For the most part, I am kind of hearing with the drop in barley, I'm hearing a little bit of a move out of barley. I'm hearing guys sticking somewhat with their rotations down here. That means a lot of wheat, canola, and peas in our area. I'm not sure up in your viewers' areas exactly what they're at, but down in our area, they seem to be kind of sticking with the rotation, but maybe going a little bit more into canola and a little bit out of barley. So
yeah, with the AFSC prices were released a little while ago there, and the barley coverage looks pretty decent.
Okay.
You can't price it at the same level though, right? Like that's kind of the problem here, but 635 a bushel was that coverage level. I guess maybe it's not far off that delivered Lethbridge for fall.
So right now today, what have I been seeing here? I think I've been seeing it trading at about $290 a ton in Lethbridge this last few days here. So what's that? 45.930. I think in tons, 630 a bushel, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're pretty close there. You know, I think the thing to watch there on that one is like your November, December corn has really popped up. We kind of put in almost what appears to be kind of a medium term low. It certainly hasn't broken any of the downtrend lines yet, but it has put in a little bit of a low for the time being anyway. And with where the new crop corn would be at, I think we talked about this before, that barley is kind of doing what it needs to do. It's kind of underneath of that, but we've seen the whole thing move higher. So whereas, you know, new crop barley was probably trading the bids were kind of in that 280 to 285 range at one point. We're now up to kind of 290. And it wouldn't surprise me to maybe see it still continue a little higher as well. So,
yeah, a little recovery here in time for planting. You know, you look at corn, soybeans, wheat markets a little bit as well. Everything's got a little bounce in it now, so it's
got a little bounce in it. That's right.
Nice to see after a tough month of February for sure. So
it was, those last couple months, it really got on the water slide there and took a ride down. So yeah, it's nice to see a bit of a quick bounce too. So
yeah. Yeah. And so for acreage, when I chat with growers, you know, it's interesting. I still think that, you know, decisions are being made and it's, you know, we'll be planting sooner than later. So it's getting more serious now, but yeah, rotation comes into play. And you know, I think canola looks a bit more favorable from an economics standpoint. So that looks good. And then some of these small acre crops, like a green pea looks really good.
Yeah.
Maple peas, obviously, you look really good as well. Yellow pea prices are, of course, more acres there, but those prices, you know, at $10 and $11 a bushel aren't too bad either. So, you know, right. I think growers from a acreage perspective, you know, I'd say, generally speaking, there's nothing to be too scared of. You know, like if I was growing a green lentil or a green pea, I'd be marketing that because those acres will climb a bunch. But, you know, yeah, when it comes to like a barley, wheat, canola, oats, like I don't think you have to chase too hard here.
No,
at this time. So, no, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense to me. Now with, you know, with this, you know, dryness lingering, these spring conditions, we have a little recovery in new crop pricing, you know, that little bounce we just talked about. What about old crop bids? What's going on with the old crop market? Is it, are farmers, are the bins locked up? Are they selling? Is there lots of stuff coming up from the U.S.? What are you seeing on old crop?
On the old crop here, I would say that we are seeing a bit of a bounce in the old crop as well. However, it's not coming from the feedlots and the end users, oddly enough. I believe that from the bids that I'm getting, it's coming more out of commercials and intermediaries that okay. need to maybe cover some positions. And I think sure. that... I think that they're finding, like at Marketplace, we generally keep our positions quite close. So by the end of the week, we like to have our position flat. We're strictly a trading company, not a speculating company.
Yep.
We're just here to buy and sell the grain and facilitate that for producers and end users. But some people do take more of positions in this market. And I think there's a fundamental difference in an uptrend. It's a lot easier to sell grain off if you need to. In a downtrend, when you have to buy grain at prices that farmers and producers already don't like, mm-hmm. you can get into quite tight covering rallies. And so say if say there may be some commercials out there that are short up to, you know, into the low three. If I had to guess, they're probably short into maybe like the low 300s.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and say barley is today 285 to 290, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, to see a fairly aggressive covering rally from them. You know, oddly enough, I can't sell the prices that I'm seeing them quoting me right now that I could into a feedlot. There's no way. In fact, most of my day, my entire morning today was emailing and calling people to take their contracts.
Yeah.
So when you're emailing and trying to get people to take their contracts, they're generally not going to bid the market up.
Yep.
So it's an intermediary covering rally, but that doesn't mean that it can't be fairly significant. It depends how short the trade is. So.
Okay. And so I guess speculating here, but you think they're getting any traction with that or,
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like there's enough grain. Like for example, I was just at Ag Expo here a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was even surprised to hear, you know, like even my boss's brother was only 50% sold. There were a lot of guys that still hadn't sold anything. So,
yeah.
And to be honest, if I was in that same boat, just myself personally, I would use this as an opportunity to get something sold.
Yeah.
If I was seeing 100%. The feedlots themselves participating in this route, not so much on new crop, we're not talking new crop right now. This is just old crop.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this as an opportunity to get my stuff sold. I wouldn't think that this is going to be a major rally. You know, I suppose if you did see the, the end users, the feedlots and the feed mills, all of a sudden start calling me and saying, hey, David, you know, can you ship me another 20 loads this week? I'm not getting my deliveries, or I'm running a little short. Then you could see more of a sustained rally. But, low with cash Lethbridge, maybe low 300s, maybe 300 to 315. I kind of think that will be high enough to cover off most of what the trade would need to cover.
Okay.
So, outside of that, if we did see, of course, I mean, you never know with these things. So, you start to see a continued rally in corn. It starts to break some of those major downtrend lines. You know, of course, it can always turn into something. So,
yeah. And it's that time of year where, you know, the weather's going to come into play. The fund managers are extremely sold or short, you know, exactly. Like there's things that can happen down the road here, but I'm with you, man. Like I know it's not the rally that everyone wants to see today. But I would be layering some sales here on actually quite a few different crops right now. And just, it's okay to hold back a couple of bullets for the spring and summer, but, just sell this little bounce. A little bit.
You know, one of the things that I'm just watching personally, like on the bullish side, that could swing this into some sort of a counter trend rally, would be this. I was just watching these inflation numbers coming out in the U.S. and they're having a very difficult time getting that inflation under control. And what is inflation? It's increase in commodity prices, right? It's increase in raw material. So that's what inflation is, and so. So that I am watching a little bit. It's actually kind of a small story right now, but it's those things that can develop into a trend changer. So if there's something to watch, that's what I'm watching right now.
Well, I'm officially on record now, and I told everybody that I'm just a bit of a Yahoo here. I'm not an expert in anything really, but I'm on record saying that interest rates are not going to decline in 2024. So I'd like to see them decline, but I'm definitely heard that.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else on your radar right now? Old crop, new crop, anything stand out?
Well, you know, not particularly anything there's always good demand. I don't want to paint such a bearish picture that people think that there isn't a demand for these things. There's always a demand. Mm-hmm. I really do kind of like that new crop space. There seems to be quite a bit of trade going on in there. Again, I would say it's probably a little more of the commercials taking part in it than the farmer at this point. But it's kind of interesting. I like those numbers. I like the spread to corn in that. So I think that there's some opportunity for barley. Like you can, for me, I can buy and sell it, right? So when there's a little bit of a spread there, I have a little bit more opportunity. That's just as a trader. But I do like that. Wheat has kind of slowed down here for us. Let me think here. I don't know. I think on that barley, that's probably the one to watch right now. Yep. If you're sitting on a lot of barley, then I'd probably say, definitely look at it. The feedlots themselves have decent coverage April through July. So if this runs out of steam, you're going to be trying to sell to guys that don't need it again. So while there's a few guys around that need it, it might not hurt to take advantage of that one. So,
well, and I'll add in here as well, the carryover of barley, the supply carried over into this next crop is expected to be substantial.
Yeah.
Right. And so again, who knows how this all plays out, but I'd really have a tough time, advising farmers to hold on to carry stuff into that next crop year. So folks, if you're listening, you have a little opportunity here to take a look at, and just know that many of you will be carrying, if you want to carry the barley over, you'll be doing it. So there'll be enough of it around for now. So all right, David, well, I appreciate you joining the show here once again.
My pleasure.
have a great start to spring. And yeah, we'll try to check in April and see how things are progressing with planting and with moisture conditions.
That sounds great. I appreciate it, Ryan. And yeah, anytime. You betcha. Thank you very much.
Perfect. All right. David just does a fantastic job for us each time he joins us. So that was great. Thanks again here, David. Okay, let's get to our next segment here. It's our a segment that's gaining in popularity the last couple of weeks. This is our mailbag segment. I might have to come up with a new name for it eventually, but the mailbag is sponsored by Pioneer Seeds. And of course, you ask a question. All you have to do is email Ryan at whatthefuturespodcast.ca with some type of question. It could even be silly if you want. But just by emailing me, you'll get your name entered to win a bag of P516L canola seed. We're giving away canola seed for the month of March here once again with the help from our friends from Pioneer Seeds. So I got two questions this week that I want to go over. And I got actually quite a few that came in. And I'm going to do my best to try to catch up here, folks, because it's... like I said, it's getting popular, so that's great. I thought I'd be able to answer all of them on the pod. I was a little bit naive in my thinking, so I'm just going to have to pick a few each week and then answer the rest via email as best I can, or maybe across social media. I'm not sure. I'm still workshopping everything here at the What the Futures podcast. So, but keep them coming, folks. I get a really good sense of what's going on across the prairies, you know, what's on your minds, and it helps with the podcast prep as well. So first question comes in from Lloyd. And Lloyd was at my presentation a couple weeks ago, and he said, it's tough to be the salesman when you are selling bad news, because, of course, the presentation didn't have a lot of positivity in it. So he has a question about options buying, and he says, I've bought through Viterra before, easy peasy, but pricey. Besides setting up your own futures account, what other purchase vehicles are out there? And I started thinking about this in more detail, and there aren't a lot of options available, okay? It, honestly, it's just, there's not a lot of, In one sense, there's a lot of different things you can kind of do. And there's a lot of like branded strategies. I think they might call them like over-the-counter strategies. And so how I'm going to answer this question is like two parts. Number one is you can set up your own brokerage or futures account, okay? And you need to speak with a licensed professional to do that. You know, like someone from the RBC team or something like that. I'm just thinking of who we use on the farm. And of course, with those guys, those folks, they've got their arsenal of strategies that they have, and they have a great education aspect as well. They host a lot of webinars that you can check out. And I know a few of these futures brokers do that. The other thing is to deal with a grain company that allows you or gives you the opportunity to add an option or look at an over-the-counter strategy. And so I'm going to just name those companies as best to my knowledge here. And if it's different, please reach out to me. But obviously Cargill is kind of the big one out there with a variety of options. At one point, I know they had 14 or 15 different things you could look at for strategies. I honestly didn't look at the website before recording. I should probably do that. But Cargill's one. Viterra's another one. And it's almost like ease of use as well. Like Cargill, I'd say, is a little bit more effective and efficient. Viterra's getting much better each and every month here or each and every year. And you can throw these strategies in front of them or these ideas and say, hey, this is my problem. I want to, for example, forward contract, but I want to protect, against a buyout. Like, what do you have? And so they'll give you some different options there as well. Some strategies, I should say, to look at. I know that Bungie, I got another text message from Bungie here. You guys heard me rant about this a couple of weeks ago. Where's my Bungie text message? So they basically say yesterday, a couple of days ago, you know, have you thought about starting to contract for new crop yet? With our FRM structures, we have ways to maximize the price. Again, folks, be cautious. Know what you're signing with these companies. Know what you're getting into. And read the fine print. Just make sure you're on the same page. But Bungie would be another one. Okay, so we have Cargill, we have Viterra, we have Bungie. You know, ADM used to, but I don't see that anymore in the Lloydminster office. That's changed, but I'd be curious if anybody else has any experience with ADM in the last 6 months on that. Nothing at Richardson, nothing at P&H, Parrish and Heimbecker, nothing with Grains Connect. I'm just trying to think of anything else comes to mind here, folks, but even your smaller independents, there's not a lot of flexibility there either. So, so that, Lloyd, I know that doesn't necessarily answer, you know, what other vehicles are out there, purchase vehicles or strategies are out there, but Cargill, the Viterras, the Bungies, those are the folks that have these multiple strategies for you. Do your homework and check them out. And again, I appreciate you sharing your story of baby loss as well. I know it impacts a lot of folks. And for all those that reached out last week with a message or something, I do appreciate it. It's always great to interact with folks on stuff like that. Okay, so question number two comes from Mark. And he says, hey, Ryan. Great job with the podcast. What is driving this little run in canola pricing? Is it sustainable or is it just a blip possibly caused by domestic crush demand that will disappear soon? Thanks. All right, Mark, I really wanted to tackle this one because, you know, as farms sit there across the prairies, you're trying to figure out how do I sell this bounce? And you know, I'm on record saying, well, I can't remember exactly the numbers, a 609, a 615, something like that, 620. And I said, be careful at 635. Okay. Now I'm recording Thursday night. We're trading 623.80. Okay. And we were a little higher than this on the May contract. I believe we were 628, something like that. I'll just double check here. Yeah. As high as about 631, it looks like. Okay. So this bounce, the interesting thing is, and I was asking the groups this week why canola was rallying, and nobody had an answer, like a loud answer. You know, when you ask a group and you're hoping for like five people to shout, it's going up because of this reason, right? And it was super quiet. Nobody really had an answer. And there was like, Brazil? And I'm like, yeah, Brazil what? Drought or soybean harvest being done? Like, which one do you want to go with? And so like the harvest being done, that certainly helps. But if you look at veg oils, palm oil has rallied, I believe it's to a 1 year high. I believe I could be a little mistaken. I'm trying to remember what I read here the last couple of days, but palm oil's been on a tear. Palm oil futures, Malaysian palm oil has climbed. Okay. And you've seen soybean oil climb. So palm oil, soybean oil, and canola have climbed. Corn has also climbed. Feed barley has climbed. Anyways, let's not talk about feed barley yet. But you have this little bounce. Now, I believe palm oil is doing the heavy lifting for us, okay? Now, the smart people that I chat with, when they look at all the technicals, I'm not a technical trader. I don't even know what the words mean. I'll have to get somebody on to talk technicals for us. But when I ask them, I'm like, where does this get interesting? And so the one guy said, well, 100-day moving average is coming in at, I think it was like 650 and change, 653. And then he mentioned some other things, and it was like between 645 and 650. And from a technical perspective, it looks like, you know, that level, there's some heavy resistance. There's a whole bunch of things that align there. And in my opinion, you need a fundamental event to rally this even further. Now, palm oil is rallying because stocks hit a couple month low here, maybe a 7 month low, and stocks got a little bit tighter, and production was a little bit less, and it caused this nice little rally in palm oil. I think that came across the soybean oil as well and has impacted your canola market. The problem we have, so the question is this sustainable? Well, not until we get a major weather issue or a production issue somewhere around the world. Like, we need something to happen. We need dryness concerns, or we need, you know, something to change fundamentally here. And we're not seeing that quite yet, and I don't think we'll see that in March. Now, if you look at my track record, folks, over the last couple months, you know, I'm on record saying I think canola could go as low as 515 by, you know, mid-March and then rally from there. And that wasn't right. It dipped below 600, but it found support at like 575 or something like that. And I thought we'd get a bounce. Now it's just, you know, not exactly accurate on that. But I do see a lot of resistance here. A lot of selling needs to happen. And the growers I've interacted with and communicated with, you know, there's a lot of canola left to sell out there. So $14 a bushel's hitting in portions of the prairies. I think I saw some 1450s in like southern Manitoba. I would sell a little bit of that, folks. I would sell. I would, again, sell in smaller increments right now, but I would be making some sales. And I'm not bullish basis either. Okay, I know some folks are. I talked to a gentleman today that told me, you know, he's an analyst. He said canola futures are going back to 740 and basis is going to be a plus 10. And, you know, that's his opinion. I hope he's right. But, you know, that's $17 canola. And yeah, like maybe if we get some weather scares and stuff. But, you know, folks, I'd be, if you have a couple bullets left for crop marketing on your canola, I'd be using one of those bullets here right now, right at this time. And then keep one for some weather or something like that. So I don't believe it's sustainable at this time. We need weather, a dryness or something to come in, and then it would be more sustainable. All right. So thanks, Mark, for the question. And I'm going to throw this in here right now. I was going to add it in when I talked about crop prices. But again, folks, I'm reading an update, and they're talking about this rally is from Chinese demand. And China did come in and buy some Canadian canola lately. But we have to, the article says that, you know, oh, China, I don't have it word for word here. Maybe I could find it real quick. But, you know, basically picking on China a little bit. So it says China's purchase of Canadian canola is something they have been avoiding for a while now. That's false. China, we need to pat China on the back and say thank you for buying our canola at the normal pace that you have been, as per usual. Because, like, honestly, folks, if you want to go to the Canadian Canola Commission site or whatever they call that darn thing, China ain't the problem, folks. Like, China's doing just fine. From what I can tell over the last couple of years. If you see something different, certainly reach out. But I see a little problem with Japan. I think Japan could pick up their socks here just a little bit. And I think a lot of other smaller countries could pick up their socks. But of course, if you've seen my presentation, you've seen that slide. And I don't know, like, maybe I'm reading something totally wrong here, but it ain't China, all right? I think China's doing what they normally do. So, all right. Now, thought I'd throw that little rant in there. Okay, folks, let's keep moving along here. Next segment. So this one's going to come, I'm going to come up with a name for this eventually, but it's more about the news, the hot topics out there, and then some crop pricing. And then, of course, we're going to end with eating our veggies here in just a second. So I guess I just want to cover off the StatsCan acreage numbers from earlier in the week. honestly, folks, I wanted to talk about Russia, Putin's latest threat, nuclear threat against the West. I wanted to talk about Russia dumping wheat into the export market, you know, hammering export values lower because they are anticipating a big crop already. We could have talked about Trump and tariffs. You know that China is already building infrastructure, has been building infrastructure to get U.S. grain over to Mexico so they can ship it from Mexico to China. All right. Mexico is like the largest trading partner now for the U.S. And that statistic's just going to get even more out of whack here because U.S. grain's going to go to Mexico and then go to China from there. But they're putting that infrastructure in place because they figure Trump's going to win the election. And I don't think you can say they're wrong at this time. We could also talk about the stock market and this. Is it a bubble? Is it not a bubble when it comes to AI and this technology, this tech rally going on? I know my portfolio is looking a little bit better here lately. I'm sure many of yours are looking good as well. Is it a bubble? Is it not? It seems like a bubble, but we'll see. So there was lots of things, but you know, I thought I'd just go back to the Stats Can report because I probably should more than anything. So Stats Can released the survey that was done in December here in early January. And, you know, we've got a couple things. So we've got durum wheat up, 5% year over year. I don't think that surprises anybody. Spring wheat down a percent and a half-ish. Which I believe is false. I believe spring wheat is actually going to gain year over year. People have been mentioning to me that they're planting more wheat. If you're planting less barley, again, I'm not believing in the gains in oats yet, but less barley, maybe less oats for some of you. You know, spring wheat hangs in there. So again, I think that's going to be a bit higher. Barley down 2.5%. You know, 7.13 million acres of barley is too much. We're going to carry over a couple million ton. That's too much. And, you know, the crop insurance values bought more acres, bought malt and feed acres, certainly in Alberta, and I'd say in Saskatchewan a little bit as well. Canola, they've got down 3% at 21.3 million acres. That number is going to be higher. But you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be scared of a 22 million or 22 in change million acre canola crop. That's not scary at all. Chickpeas up 26%. Dry beans up 13%. I can't really speak on those at this time. I'm assuming economics look good for that. Peas up 2.5% right now, 3.12 million acres. That one was a little bit, I thought that one would be higher, to be honest with you. But I know the yellow pea grower is not super excited to expand yellow pea acres. There's lots of disease issues out there. And green pea seed was just, you know, you can't find it anymore. But now whatever was available is getting used. And yeah, I thought that would trickle in the numbers here just a bit more. Fall rye down a couple percent. Flax down 16%. And honestly, folks, I have to look at Chuck Penner's research because for flax, I couldn't figure out why acres would be down so much. And then I saw the stocks to use ratio. I can't remember. When Chuck's on next, I'll ask him. But there's a pile of carryover flax. So I get it, folks. I get why you're pumping the brakes on that one. Lentils up 4.5% or 4.4%. Oats up 21.6%. Whatever, folks. If it is that number, it's still a low acreage number as a whole. The trades was expecting 3.3 million acres. It came in at 3.07. I don't know, man. I just can't see where these oats are coming from. But I guess maybe you guys are just being real cagey with me and they're out there. I don't know. Maybe they're out there. Sunflower seed down 15%. Soybeans down about 1% as well. Now, this information's a couple months old. It always changes. It's going to change. But there you go. There's my big story, my hot topic for this week. From a pricing perspective, when I talk about prices, I want to talk about what's new out there. And the only thing that is really new to me Well, canola bounce. Okay. That's new, or it's been happening. Man, I saw, where was it? I was on the Farm Bucks app and there was somewhere, I think it was it Manitoba again? But some new crop values, like way out there, for delivery, like 2025 delivery. But I swear to you, I saw something that, yeah, Louis Dreyfus in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, January of 2025, they're not far from $15, folks. Like a little bounce tomorrow or the next trading day. They're not far. Like $15 canola into Yorkton. That's worth a peek, folks. It's worth a look. So there was that. Barley values climbed here just a little bit in Lethbridge as well. So that's good. Again, like I was seeing, like chatted with a gentleman in Rimby, Alberta. He was offered like 5:30 picked up on farm. So, you know, it's up a little bit. There, of course, David talked about that. Yellow peas, I'm not seeing much for changes. And wheat is just frustrating right now for the most part. I did see some $9 wheat trade at P&H in both Viking and Lyalta, Alberta. So, you know, that's something there, that $9 number hitting again at P&H. And green lentils, it looks like large green lentils have pulled back here after the StatsCan report, both old crop and new crop values. But if you've been following along with the show, we've been telling you to sell them green crops, get them sold. Green peas, green lentils, get after it. And that does not change, folks. You still got to get after that. All right. Last segment here. Eating your veggies because it's the right thing to do. Do you think I'll ever get a sponsor for the eating your veggies segment? I think it'd be a great one for someone to pick up on. But anyways, eating your veggies, it's where we give a little bit of advice. And of course, it's where I think, you know, it's the right thing to focus on. So from a numbers perspective, you've done your cost of production, okay? And now that you've done that, I want you to do your cash flow calculations, okay? So how much cash do you need each and every month moving forward? Now for old crop, maybe you don't have to focus on it if the bins are empty. But start to look at, you know, September, October, November, what your cash flow needs are. And you write that down. You have your break-evens. You have your cash flow needs. And then maybe next week we'll talk about you creating your delivery plan. Or maybe we'll wait till the crop germinates and gets nice and exciting. We'll talk about your delivery plan. But cash flow calculations. Figure out how much cash you need every month or for the next month. And it just starts to help you frame in those decisions on how to market that grain. You know, can you grab the extra, you know, so many cents for a few months down the road? Can you take that $15 at Louis Dreyfus in Yorkton in January, right? Can you look at that? But start to write down your cash flow needs each and every month. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, I needed to sell this pre-seed bounce. Okay. Again, I'm a Yahoo with a microphone, with a podcast, drinking a Gibson's whiskey on Thursday night, but I want you to sell the pre-seed bounce. I want you to sell this little strength you have in old crop feed barley. I want you to sell a little bit of old crop canola. Heck, I even want you to sell a little new crop canola while you're at it. Okay? If you have corn, soybeans, those are crops that you need to sell as well. Not wheat. I'm not telling you to sell any wheat today. Again, if someone offered me $9, I'd take a look at that for spring wheat. But wheat, I need to have a good think on it because that's a tough one right now. Okay. So that's my number two for eating your veggies. And number three, I just thought of putting some targets out here on new crop yellow peas. Again, I talked about that last week, but just lead that merchant because I'm not convinced. I am not convinced India is going to be in the entire time buying Canadian yellow peas. So if you have that 11, you know, 10, 10, 50, $11 sale done, just tickle one in there at 12. Just tickle it in there at 12. And see if you get hit. Maybe India comes out and says, we're going to buy, you know, remove the tariff into August now. And boom, your $12 target gets hit. Okay. So you see, I'm raising it a dollar there. Like I'm not putting it at 12.10 or 12.20 or 11.10 or 11.25. It's all the way at $12. All right. So those are my three things here for eating your veggies. All right, folks. Well, in closing, for episode 19, thanks for hanging in there. I gave away just a couple of Oilers tickets here this week, and I put in, I just said, hey, here's a question, answer the question and you get your name entered. Of course you saw the email. And so here's the fun thing about it. I put in there, like, what do you think your most profitable crop will be for 2024? And I got like a dozen answers, maybe even a few more than that. And the cool thing, and I think it's cool because I got a wide variety of crops. Okay. You kind of think like you'd get answers that are all very consistent, but I had everything from green lentils, which makes sense, green peas, canola, nothing surprising there, I don't think. But I even had barley come in. I even had wheat come into the conversation. Crops that I wasn't really expecting to see. But you know your farms. You know what you can grow. And for some of you, you can grow... and oats was a big one. Some of you grow monster barley crops. And if you're in southern Alberta, central Alberta, I get it. Like, there's some money to be made there. So yeah, that was a fun one. So I'm going to try to come up with more of those questions each and every week. I'll send them out via email. And again, it provides some great thinking and content for the show. All right, folks, last thing for March. If you want to get your name entered to win a trip, potentially win a trip for two to Nashville, Tennessee, I want to grow my email distribution list here for the month of March. Tell your friends, your family, people on the farm to head to my website. That's whatthefuturespodcast.ca. Sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll email them and say, hey, who'd you hear or how did you hear about the pod? Or who'd you hear it from? If they say your name, you're going to get a double entry to potentially win this trip. And they're going to get an entry as well. I said, let's try it for a week. It's working great. Thank you so much. Keep at it. And hey, you never know. You might be going and traveling to Nashville, Tennessee here in short order. Of course, you can go check us out on YouTube across all our social media platforms. Welcome to Fox and Forth. They've taken over my social media here moving forward. Hit the like buttons, subscribe. I appreciate it all. Have a great weekend or a great week whenever you're tuning in. I'm out.